The funny thing is, I had that game and I never played it, and I traded it in, wrapping intact.
I love being a troll because you just get to piss so many people off.
What would you rather be inside of? A giant robot or magical girl?
Now we're stuck with you.
I'm pretty sure I'm on a higher plane of existence than you.
I was just about to bring that up. Nintendo, I'm not even going to say anything.
We shall give you a quality show today. I'll be giving you at least 78%.
Launching!
Hello, everybody. Indeed, welcome to episode 237 of the Anavision Podcast. I am J-Ro, joined by XCOM.
Hello.
And Steve.
Sup.
Omro's not here. He's on assignment doing whatever. I don't know. I forget what assignment we put him on.
He's getting a Brazilian wax.
Oh yeah, and we'll have an EXT episode about that waxing.
we were curious about it. You know, he's a big, hairy Puerto Rican dude, so we thought it'd be great to get him a nice little Brazilian.
Yeah, thanks for everybody that donated to our Kickstarter to make that happen. or I think there's others that might be more appropriate for that, like
GoFundMe.
GoFundMe, right.
We had a GoFundMe for Brazilian waxing Omro.
Yeah, we know how much people like their Omro on the podcast.
Nice and smooth, too.
All right, so on this episode, we have our usual news, and then we are doing impressions from the Winter 16 anime season. We are about two-thirds of the way through winter, and we have a select amount of shows to talk about. So let's get started with the news. On Friday the 26th, there was a Nintendo Direct in which they announced officially Pokemon Sun and Moon for the 3DS, which will be out in holiday 2016. The wind was slightly taken out of their sails as people found trademark information and such the day prior.
Luckily,
it would have been nice if they said anything else in addition to this. Oh, wait. They kind of did. They also added... yes, it's in Chinese. And they added the original games to the Virtual Console. And it's compatible with the Pokemon Bank, so you could transfer your...
We kind of already knew that, though.
Yeah, we did. But that was a part of it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I didn't really see any of this leak stuff, so to me, when I saw Sun and Moon was announced, I got hyped and happy. I'm a huge Pokemon fan. I played so many Pokemon games. I play them all the time. In fact, I'm not that obsessed. Okay, there's some people that's all they play. But, even right now, you know, I got a new tablet a couple of months ago, and my old tablet could not run the DS emulator. My new tablet can, and so guess what I'm playing right now? Pokemon Soul Silver. So, I'm always playing some sort of Pokemon game. And I'll admit, I was, because I think you can get it for the 3DS if you buy the DS cartridge. But it was like $40 or $80 on one website. And I was like, yeah, no. I'm a huge Pokemon fan. I love these Pokemon games. I put so much time and effort in them. I even restarted them. So just more Pokemon's always great for me.
So when you play a game like Soul Silver right now, are you replaying it, or is that one that you missed out on?
So that is one I missed out on, because I never owned a DS. And I played the original, I think Gold. I don't think I played Silver. I think I played Gold. It was the one with the big bird Pokemon that was a legendary. I think that was Gold. So I played Gold back in the day, but I never played the Soul Silver or the whatever the Gold one was called.
Heart Gold.
Yeah, I never played those ones. So this was something that I really wanted to do, because I never did. Because I mentioned this a long time ago, I recently went back and played, you know, the Fire Red version, and I never played that version. I mean, I played Red a lot, but I never played that version. So this is kind of cool, and there's some cool things about this. And I'll admit, the reason why I started doing it was because I realized my tablet could do it, and there's a YouTuber that started a playthrough on it, and I was like, ooh, let me go try and see if I can play it. And I could, and I've been playing it ever since. So I like Pokemon. There's nothing like it's the only turn-based game I can really get into. So I'm excited to see what they do. And I've seen like the trailer breakdowns of the concept arts and something about cars and vehicles in this game. Mm. So I'm really curious to see what they're going to do. I can't wait to see more about it.
I wanted information about Pokemon Go. I wasn't really expecting it with this announcement, but I just want more information on Go. Mm.
Next, we have a story about Uncharted 4. A trailer was just released recently. I haven't watched the trailer because, I mean, it's not going to change my decision of whether I buy the game or not. But for people that did watch it, especially those at Ubisoft, took interest in a piece of art that was in that trailer that looked very similar.
What? What? It was? Wait, no, it wasn't. They re-released it, and there's no such thing.
Oh, well, then we don't have a story then. but what happened is that a picture of concept art from Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag was on like a painting on the wall. Yeah. And what Naughty Dog kind of did to make it not look exactly like it was that they took the person out, and it looks like they kind of zoomed in a little bit.
Yeah. And so they, as I said, they re-released it later, and they cut that part out. But like, it feels like they tried to justify it, and because it almost feels like there's a scene in the game, like it shows Drake walking in the trailer where it kind of looks exactly like that concept art. So either A, maybe they lost the concept art. B, they always use that one. Maybe someone who worked on one of the Assassin's Creed game went to. the thing, or maybe someone saw it and kind of duplicated it or something, but there's definitely something in the game that actually looks like that spot too. So I just find that funny that they just completely, like, they didn't even say, oh whoops, they just re-released it with an edited version of it, just completely taking it out. It's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know, I think you know, it's obviously awkward when as a artistic person or something, when you see your art featured in somebody else's project, it's kind of like, what the hell is going on? Like, it's not, it, like, to us viewing it, it's like, it's just a piece of concept art, you know, you can change it, whatever. But for them, you know, it's a big deal to have your art appear without your permission.
Oh, I mean, or it's a rival studio,
right?
I mean, there's really no excuse. I mean, it'd be like in the Batman Superman movie, suddenly they walk in and there's Captain America's shield just sitting there, and you're thinking, huh? It's like, you know, it's different studios. You're not supposed to just directly steal like that. You're supposed to kind of steal, you know? See the image and recreate it. Make it just a little different.
Make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
Capcom, in their never-ending quest to remake all the Resident Evil games, have announced that Resident Evils 4, 5, and 6 will be released on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One throughout the year 2016. No dates yet on when the games will come out, but I would assume that it would be like Final Fantasy 4 is going to be released in spring and such. So we'll just have to see what the calendar is. Does that...
I know it's coming out in reverse order, so 6, 5, 4. Well,
they know, like, get the crappy game out first, make people wait for the good one.
No, the 6 is coming out first.
No, that's what I'm saying. 6 is crap.
Technically, would be an order of worst to best. Not that 5 is bad, it's just 4 is better. The question is, did they release any kind of pricing point?
They did not. I would have to assume somewhere from $20 to $30.
Yeah.
I would hope so. Like, especially 4. I mean, how many times has 4 been re-released?
Right. Yeah, I think it was...
It should just give 4 to us now.
Yeah. It came out initially on GameCube. Then after a while, it came out on PlayStation.
I think it
came out on PlayStation first, didn't it?
It was a GameCube exclusive for a while.
And then it came out on Wii.
Yeah.
And then it came out on 3 and 4. Or 3 and PS3 and Xbox 360.
Right.
And now?
Yeah. And then they've remade 0, 1, 2, and 3. So now these are next in line.
But for some reason, there's like, 6. Let's do 6. Yeah, see, that's the thing. I will admit I have a feigning interest in playing 6 because I've never played it, even though I know it's bad. Mm. It's just I think I didn't play 3, Resident Evil 3, but I played 1 on the computer a long time ago, and 2, and then of course I played 4 and 5. So
yeah. And 6 was supposed to be, in terms of gameplay, a lot like 5, maybe even more amped up with the action elements.
Yeah, it's just it got such terrible reviews I never really went into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's $30, I'd probably pick it up. But if it's $40, which I think like that sounds like something they'd do, I would have to wait, or maybe I'd just think about it.
Right. And we have a couple anime stories. Assassination Classroom, there is an announcement that in March the manga will be ending. And good news for the anime is that the plan is to have that ending match that of the manga. So for people watching Assassination Classroom, you'll take satisfaction in knowing that we'll be getting a complete original story ending.
I look forward to you telling me how it ends.
Should be cool. Either the Koro Sensei destroys the Earth or not, or he's killed. And then the last story is that Senki Sesshō Symphogear is getting a 4th season. Boy, the kinds of anime these days that are getting sequels.
Yeah, I didn't even think it was that popular, but Zero's Familiar got like seasons out the yin yang, and
that had 4, didn't it?
I think so. I don't remember. I don't think it was all that popular, but
it was actually pretty popular.
It was?
Okay. Any anime that has Rei Kugami as a loli tsundere is just automatically popular.
I feel like that's her most popular role.
I don't know. I think what was it? Shokugen no Shannon might be her most popular.
Well, no, I didn't. Archetypes.
Oh, I get you. Yeah.
Right.
No, Rei Kugamiya embodies the loli character, the loli tsundere.
Yes.
Although she is ridiculously awesome in Gintama.
Oh, yeah, as Kagura.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to take a musical intermission, and when we come back, we will have our impressions from the Winter 16 anime season. We'll be right back. And welcome back to our discussion. Actually, there is a additional topic that I want to start with before we go to the winter anime impressions, is that we have a follow-up to our impressions from episode 236 when we talked about Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm 4. XCOM and I, earlier in the day prior to this recording, we were trying to match up and play some games online against each other. But the even though our internet connections are, as XCOM described it to me, above average, considering we get like over 100 megs down and such, that we could not...
You know, you just made a lot of people cry by just calling that above average. Some people are like, I get 3 megs down, you asshole.
Hey, big ups to Time Warner on that free upgrade in Google for that competition. Also AT&T for the fiber. But so we get matched up online and we make like a lobby to play against each other. It's one of these typical fighting things where you have fighting lobbies. And we play maybe 2 minutes of a game and one of us disconnects. And then we try to set it up again, disconnect. Some, like, I think one time we got kicked out before, as like as soon as we got matched up together in the lobby. Like, pretty bad net code.
And it's not like we're that far away from each other. I kind of felt that it would have made more sense for me to just go over to his house and play on his couch than it was for us to just stay there and play online. Because it was really, really bad. And it took forever just to start a match to begin with. So it's like... And the only reason why I wanted to bring this up was because I did get asked a couple times about the online before we first talked about it. But I don't really play online with a lot of fighting games because I usually get my ass handed to me. So I kind of only play with people that I know. And I thought, all fighting games, there's a good benchmark for online games now. So, like, as long as you're in your own region and you're playing with your friends, it should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Not for this game. It is absolutely terrible. It is the worst online game as far as, I guess, stability I've ever seen at all. Not being able to play an entire round is pretty bad.
You know, I kind of want to... The fact that you mentioned this actually is very intriguing, because a couple of weeks ago, there was an article written, and I'll actually include this in the show notes in case anyone's interested, on Forbes, right? And sure, this might have been a little bit of clickbait here and there, but it did make sense, and the topic was just very simple. Video games are broken, reviews are broken, and things have to change. And so this guy went on to this big deal, and this was actually on because of Street Fighter V, okay? So, so much of these games are being released, right? And it's an old topic. We've talked about it before. Games are just broken when they come out. There's a big issue. But his kind of response on this was some of the blame should definitely be held on the reviewers. Because so many reviewers nowadays just come in and do the reviews before they actually play the games themselves or play them, get to play them online. And they give them good reviews. Like, for instance, one of the games he brought up also as well, which was a very big one too, a year or so ago, that one came out, was the Master Chief Collection. When that came out, it was like, that was one of the big draw on that was you could play every multiplayer game online. But the multiplayer game was, the multiplayer servers and stuff were utterly broken. And he's like, reviewers were giving these guys great reviews, and so everyone's going out and buying these games, and you're like, you know, for instance, the most recent one, Street Fighter V, came with an 8 out of 10. And they come and buy these games, and then you go and you play them. And core features of it, parts of the reasons why you actually play these games, don't work. And so his big argument was, you know, reviewers should delay on doing reviews. You know, it should really be able to test these games out before they give them, you know, 8 and 9s. Because if these core features are broken, no one will play them. I mean, you guys have the luxury. You guys live literally minutes away from each other. You know, you could practically bike to each other's houses. A little long bike, but you could. And, you know, not everyone has that chance. If I want to go play with my friend Wade or Dirty, you know, they live all the way up, you know, in Pennsylvania area, and there's no way I can go bike to their house, you know? So, these online components are very core to the way people play games nowadays. Or just, and other things are just broken. So, I wonder if maybe there really should be more of a push to wait to do reviews, or a better way for reviewers to be able to test out these online functions.
It's going to be really hard to do, because every time something is released, and it's not just video games, it's tech in general, it's an arms race. The moment, no, not even the moment, the second anything is known about games, tech, anything, we are kind of conditioned to search for it online. And so, consequently, everybody is trying to get their information out as quickly as possible.
Exactly. And I think, you know,
I think that's partly our fault, the consumer, because we're always wanting to know.
It is, but also it's kind of partially the fault of things like books and movies and TV shows. You know, someone can go and watch the latest Batman movie and come out and say, hey, this movie was shit. And we're not gonna, you know, there's not gonna be a bug in it that makes it not work, you know? It's you go see the movie, if it doesn't work, then it's a problem with the projector in the theater, not the movie itself, you know? And so, those have kind of already conditioned us to go, well, we really want to see the movie of these, or the views of these particular series or movies, so, you know, it's interesting, and we could really go in depth on it, but I just kind of wanted to bring it up because it related so to an article I read recently, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
What do you think we talk about it on episode 238?
That sounds like an awesome topic idea we should bring up again, and I should have thought about that before I went off on it. But hey, why don't we do it?
Yeah. All right, so we'll see if we get to that today, and that would involve us remembering.
Actually, we had another discussion topic like right before when we were talking about something that split off the division. But by the next time we talk about or the next podcast, we could probably bring up that topic again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But the topic at hand for this episode is anime. And that is the Winter 16 mid-season update. We have a select few shows to talk about here. We'll get started with a quick one, Assassination Classroom Season 2, which I am watching. And the only couple of points that I can really contribute to my thoughts is that it's good to know that the manga is reaching its conclusion and that the anime is going to make that point and, you know, adapt the ending of the manga into the anime. And also that right now they are getting into one of the better, more involved arcs of the series with this guy named Reaper, who had made some appearances as a flower guy, and that is one of the more cooler arcs of the Assassination Classroom series.
I'm probably going to wait to watch the entire thing at once.
Have you watched at least all of season one, or not any of it?
I've watched like half of season one.
All right, cool. All right, so next up is Gate. We are almost we're four episodes away from the ending, and Gate has been chugging along. The dragon, fire dragon, that battle was had. That was pretty cool. I loved how everybody, like, I liked when Lele got her moment, but Itami's explosions ultimately did the dragon in.
Mm-hmm. Gate has been fantastic. Yeah, okay, sure. It's maybe not the best series ever, but it's very enjoyable. I love it. The interactions between the characters have only gotten better. You know, I love the drama that that Itami and, of course, what Tuco was kind of going through. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I really liked how they kind of even gave Lele her moment to shine. I just kind of wish they did more with inside the whole magic city that they were in, because I found that kind of really intriguing. But overall, I just, you're right, it's been really good. And did you guys see this week's episode already?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I liked that episode as well, because it was kind of a break from Itami. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I love Itami and Lele and Tuca and all those crew, but getting these other perspectives, you know, some of these other characters that, you know, he's in the politician guy. I can't think of his name right now.
Sugawara.
Sugawara. He's new, right? He wasn't in season one, correct? Or was he?
I don't think so. Cause
yeah. I don't think so either.
He became the prime minister. Or not the
maybe
prime
he
minister.
Was. Maybe he was. I think he was briefly. He might have been briefly. But I kind of like how they gave him his moment to shine in the most recent episode. And it's just, it kind of gives the show a little more depth. You know, not just always about the same thing over and over again. Right. And some of these things, like these moments, are fantastic. Like, you know, they just beat the dragon. They come out, and that other god shows up, or the other servant of the god shows up, and she's got these two dragons, and they're like, "What's gonna happen?" And then the helicopters just come in and wreck them with the instead of the, you know, the aircrafts, the ships, mm-hmm. and stuff, the airplanes and whatever. I just thought that was so fantastic, and it's just a very enjoyable show to watch.
You know, I keep feeling like Gate is just building and building, and it hasn't gotten to a point where I feel that it's too much, and mm-hmm. I feel like this show could go on for a while. I mean, I don't think it will, yeah. but they could, if they wanted to, keep just coming back with new seasons.
I mean, they've got all sorts of other stuff. I mean, they kind of casually mentioned it. And this is something I thought was very intriguing, how they casually mentioned it. They talked about how these gates come and go.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, why did that not have more of an impact? Did you not did Itami not suddenly think, does that mean we could get trapped here?
Yep, that's what I was thinking.
Is this not something we should report? I mean, I was like, because that was like a big revelation there. And I found that was a very interesting how they world build
well,
there.
We felt it was a big revelation. The characters just like, oh, that happens? Huh.
Yeah, and imagine if that gate closed, what kind of effect that would have on the series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also the thing that was very briefly touched on at some point about other countries kind of taking interest in Japan and the gate there. There's mm-hmm. there's so much more that can be done with other countries. And just overall, the show has enough of all of its elements going, like the fantasy element and the element of the characters and their interactions together, that there's really a lot you could do and a lot... I don't know how far along the manga is. I have seen images of the manga, and it's... They dolled it up a little bit for TV. Like that scene that we talked about from... I think the beginning of the season when the prince had the Noriko girl, they kidnapped her and they made her like a sex slave or something. Yeah. And then Itami told the other two to beat him up, and then the girl just pounded him. That one was like his face was like almost unrecognizable in the manga. It was so bad.
Well, I was actually just curious, and I was just seeing it, you know, they're currently right now, there's like, what, 10 volumes in the light novel series?
Yeah.
And the manga has 7 volumes. So, you know, just judging at the pacing of the series, I wouldn't be surprised if they were near them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it kind of makes me anxious to see what the anime does with the remaining 4 episodes of this season, and if there's any rhyme or reason to make more. Next up on our list is Myriad Colors Phantom World, also known as the Japanese name Musaigen no Phantom World, a KyoAni show that I've actually stuck with. I typically don't stick with KyoAni shows, even though apparently Hibiki Euphonium is supposed to be good and stuff like that, and I didn't really watch Hyoka. But it's been a while ever since, like, Chuchikoi was the last one I watched, season one of that. And while the show isn't incredible, it's not... It doesn't have these things that really make you think or anything like that. Like, it's just been a generally enjoyable show to watch. The recent episodes maybe don't have enough there as far as, like, kind of things that kind of impact the overall of the series. But there's some fun there. The bear episode I didn't like. I thought that was kind of stupid.
Yeah, like you said, it's just one of those shows to turn your brain off and have some fun. This last episode was more of a fan service-y episode.
Yeah. They did do a little bit there in episode 8 with Haruhiko and Mai, like a potential ship there, where I was kind of surprised that in the scene where they had the horse, I still don't understand what the point of that horse was going into the hot spring. Like, they had Haruhiko holding on.
The way he explained it was a Trojan horse, so they were just kind of disguising themselves and just going in there.
Yeah, not thinking...
a pun, then.
Yes. Although, like, all the monkeys decided to ride it, I guess, is what happened.
It's like, oh, it's too heavy. But then the butt painting scene.
Yes.
Oh, that was great. So bouncy. Oh,
and him summoning the freaking squid or octopus thing. Yeah. Like, that's the most badass he's been this entire series.
It's like that whole time he was summoning that stupid dog, like, is this really doing anything? But then all of a sudden he just decides, oh, I'm going to be a badass and actually summon something really cool and helpful to the cause of this mission instead of, like, just being an accessory, being, like, the token guy amongst all these girls.
I know, right? And now that I think about it, did he have to use anything to in place of blood for that summoning?
No, he just drew it in the air.
Yeah, so,
Oh, yeah, I've been practicing that, you guys.
Just casually.
Next up is Gyalkochan, the short show that we thought was pretty funny in the first couple episodes. Are you guys still enjoying it? I am.
Yeah. Most definitely. Although this last episode, they replaced her friends. I mean, they're clearly still in it, but like they talked about two other girls that had nothing to do with anybody we've seen so far. Just other girls with big boobs.
Oh yeah, that was the purpose of adding them in, because like Iri and Otako, they can't compete. next up is Haito Genso no Grimgar. Steve, you have been a fan of this show from the start.
Yeah, you know, and that was the thing. So I was kind of like, the first episode intrigued me because of how it was done. Just kind of like slower paced, felt more like we get a lot of these, you know, a lot of these shows, you know, someone transported to a different world, whether it's, you know, video game based, like, you know, as much as it was, or if it's just something else, just a regular character getting transported. So this is nothing new. I just liked how slow paced it was and kind of how more gritty it felt. Like, watching some of these like scenes, like where they're killing goblins, right? It gets intense. Like, you're kind of watching it and you're like, these goblins are screaming and they're bleeding all over the place, and you know, this is not something you see normally. You normally just like, oh, we just slayed the monster and walk off, right? Here it kind of makes you get more perspective. Like, these goblins are more than just monsters, you know, they're beings too, you know, sentient beings that are trying to live and be themselves. And so I just found that so very interesting. And then, of course, I won't get into it because there are some major spoilers. If your name is Arma, you probably already know what they are because you went to some board and read it. but, you know, some real intense stuff happens in the show, and the feels get really heavy. And just overall, it's just kind of a very enjoyable show to watch because it is so emotionally intense and kind of, again, as I said, kind of more gritty in the fact that it's really kind of saying, you know, if we did get transported to this world, this isn't going to be, you know, like Sword Art Online, where you just suddenly are a badass, you know, swinging these swords around, or even like what's that one show that had two seasons with the guy with the glasses?
Log Horizon.
It's not going to be like Log Horizon. There's going to be more of a real consequence feel, you know, approach to these worlds, and I just found that very, very cool and a nice little break.
I think the concept of going to a fantasy world, usually that's like, oh yeah, I'll go to a fantasy world. But this, after watching this, you're like, maybe I don't want to do that.
let me confirm. They've been just put in this world, right?
They haven't revealed any of that.
Okay.
These are just people that wake up. They're in this world. They don't really know what's going on. There's still that little red moon.
Right.
They don't really have their memories.
They don't remember anything from before.
Yeah. All right. So every once in a while, they say something. They're like, "Wait a minute, what's this?" But you know, it's intense. You know, and even the latest character they introduced, Mary. You know, and what happened to her squad. You know, when they revealed that in last week's episode, it really makes you go. Mm-hmm. I like this. You know, it's different, it's unique, and it's very well animated, very beautiful series. It's just overall, this is one of my favorite ones so far this season, mm-hmm. just because it's so enjoyable.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense in that case that there's like this emotional aspect as you describe it, because comparing it to Sword Art, it's a game that you could go in and out of, or at least not the first one, but later in Sword Art Online and Log Horizon, they couldn't. But they were trying to make the most of it. And they had played so much, they were all like level 80 or 99 or something like that. So in this one, it's almost like completely new to these people. And the amnesia element kind of factors in too.
Yeah, I know. And like a lot of the other shows, it has such a huge component of depression. You know, saying, "Oh, I wish we were just back in our original world." Mm-hmm. And it's something they miss and they long for. Versus here, they don't really know it. They don't know what they're missing. They're just living in the current world. I'm sure, and they're poor. Yeah, I'm hoping they kind of get into it a little bit more. That'd be more interesting. Maybe give us a little bit of a history of what's going on there. Eventually, even if it's not in this season, hopefully there'll be future seasons. It is A1 Pictures, and A1's pretty good about doing sequels and stuff.
Right.
So I can highly recommend this series to people. If you're really looking for something with laugh out loud moments, or if you're really into the insane action styles, like even like something like Sword Art Online does, this doesn't have that. Not that the action is bad. It's just, you know, again, it tries to be very real. Like, what would happen if you were thrown into a world where this is a thing? And that's what I really like about it. So, and I really like the main character too, quite a bit. The I don't remember his name. The thief guy. Haru, I'll just call him Haru. I really like him. He's a very kind of cool character because he puts a lot of the responsibility on his shoulder, and he's always thinking about others, and it's just from his perspective.
Okay, I kind of want to stop you there, because you say he's always thinking about others. He wasn't always thinking about others.
Well, yeah.
He started thinking about others when he was put in the position to be the leader, and he realized how much that he needs to think about others in order to keep everybody together. And actually, that's something that I admired as well, because I was like, know what? You're not going to be able to pull everybody together unless you know what they're going through. And he brings it up to everybody else because, of course, Mary has gone through some crap, and she's like clinically depressed when they meet her. And after understanding that, they could kind of drag her out of her shell. But of course, at first they're like, "Well, she's a bitch, so why should we even care?"
That was really good. Like, I loved how some of those first reactions of meeting her and how they thought, they were just like, you know, she's such a pain to deal with. But it wasn't like the whole, like, sarcastic way. He's like, "I just have no idea how to respond to this person." You know, I really like him as a character. He's a great lead. Like, if it was, like, he really sets the tone of the show.
Next up is one that I think some might call their surprise of the season, Konosuba.
That show is stupid and is absolutely... It's the exact... As I said, this show hasn't changed at all. It's exact opposite of Hai no Ginso, no Grimgar. Hai to Ginso. I was calling it Hai no. I don't know why. Anyway, it's the exact opposite of that show. Yes. It's ridiculous, and it's meant to be ridiculous. I mean, you know, I love how they're like... The headless horseman, the Dullahan, comes in and he's like, "Who keeps destroying my castle?" And he's just like, "Oh, whoops, we thought that castle was empty and we were just doing our magic over there." And then, like, the whole thing with the him cursing the knight, and he's like, she's gonna die if you don't come, and then immediately he heals her, or she, you know, Aqua heals the knight, and then he comes back, he's like, did you not care about her? And then she walks out.
You know,
out, like,
that was the most funniest thing ever, because that happened towards the end of another episode, because there was a whole episode in between that, and I totally forgot about that guy, because they healed her so fast that they're like, man, we don't even have to be bothered with that dude. And then he comes back, and he's like, what happened to you guys? Like, oh, yeah, that's right, you're still around.
Exactly, and he's like, you're still doing it, and he's like, wait, what, you're still doing the magic? And he looks over, and she's like, ooh, now that I know there's somebody in the castle, it makes more appealing to make me use my explosion magic. And I'm just like, oh gosh. I mean, this show is really stupid funny, and even like the stupid, like the more sly moments that are you know, trying to be a little emotional, and she's like, I will miss those guys and what they did, and then they just walk up like, oh hey, I'm still alive. And you're like, what? And he's like, Aqua's like, I can revive people from the dead. And you're like, oh. And then in the most recent episode, Kazuma gets his head cut off and she just revives him. It was just, it was funny.
Which, by the way, just to give a background, the background to this is just like the last series. Our main character gets transported to a fantasy setting, and he's not very good at first, so like, well, even now, so he's still kind of poor.
No, it's not that he's not bad, he's not good, he's surrounded, like, his whole team is full of idiots. You know, a masochistic knight that likes getting abused, a mage that can only do one explosive spell per day, and Aqua's got all sorts of issues. Oh.
And see, the funny thing is, all three of them are, like, level 2 classes. So, like, an Archmage, a Paladin, and an Archpriest?
What? Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
No, Archwizard. I looked it up. Archwizard. Archpriest and a Paladin. Yeah, it's really funny. Like, and they do some things that are, you know, completely obvious, too. Like, he knew these were going to happen. Like, when he met Kyoya, and he's like this, you know... He's the same guy. He's same as Kazuma, you know. He goes to this magical world, but he wishes for the super sword that can defeat anything.
Yep.
He just steals it and sells it. And then, like, in the last episode, or in one, no, in a couple of, it was 2 episodes ago, it was back, when the knight showed up, the Dulahun guy showed up again, and all the people around him were like, we just gotta wait for the hero of this town, and he will save us. And he's like, wait a minute, uh-oh. And he's like, Kyoya. He's like, oh, I sold his sword. He's no longer that good anymore. It's just like, oh, this show is hilarious. I can't wait to see more.
Yeah, if you're not watching this show, you really should be.
If you like ridiculous comedy, that's what this is about.
Yeah, I was interested in the first episode of both of the shows just mentioned, but I haven't got to them yet. But
yeah, they're completely opposites.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're completely opposite, and they're great because of it.
Next up is Dimension W. I think this is one where you guys were pretty interested. Let's kind of see where this goes. Where has it gone so far?
Dimension W is a weird series.
It's
not the series is weird. It's the well, you explain it.
This is the one thing to say about it. The premise of this show, the world is interesting. The characters are insanely generic. And that's partly, it's like, it's hard to be like, I really love the world.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing that makes me enthralled with this show. Not that the other stuff is bad, don't get me wrong. But the world is interesting. The idea behind these Teslas and these alternate realities that are formed by the fact that it's bringing in energy from this W dimension is a very intriguing concept. But the characters themselves are almost laughably generic, in that's the one thing that really holds it back. Like, I don't hate the show. I very much enjoy the show. But it feels like it could be so much better. Like, that's why it's kind of hard to discuss, because the premise of the show is intriguing. I really love the episodes, the 2 episode arc, you know, that had them, and they had the past world, you know, before and after this, the flooding and the kind of the twist that happened at the end. I really found this stuff interesting, but, you know, as a main character, Kyoma Mabuchi is so very ordinary. Like, he's a dude that was awesome at fighting, so he joined a super squad, and that super squad went and done a bunch of missions in a war and was awesome. Now there's only two guys left, and they're kind of like, you know, those friends that like hate each other, or, you know, that friends that he hates his friend even though he really likes his friend, and he's like that annoying clingy guy. You know, it's like literally you could staple this, the characters, on any series, and that kind of is where they fit into. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Mira, the, you know, the main robot little girl, she has this very ordinary side to her. You know, at some point it's going to reveal that she's actually got the brain of her father, the daughter of the father, that, you know, when the girls died. Like, I guarantee that's it, because that's the thing they're always saying.
You know, I actually think that it's going to end up being his former wife somehow being ripped from Dimension W.
No, I'm talking about the brain.
No, I know. I'm talking about the personality and everything, because, like, she is exactly like his wife. He doesn't see it because he just sees her as an android. But when we had this flashback episode about his wife and how she died, I'm like, oh, she's the android.
That would be a little too... No. See, I feel like that would be too...
Exactly. That's why I think so.
Oh, that would be interesting, but that'd seem almost too coincidental, I guess. But you're right. That would make some sense. Huh. I didn't think about it that way. See, again, that's the thing about the show that makes it so interesting, is the concept of these Dimension Ws, the concept of these numbers, you know, the Tesla coils that are built without, with that are like super Tesla coils that have no, that generate their own energy instead of absorbing it from these big things that send it out or whatever.
Rather, you know, being super, the problem is that they were kind of prototypes, so they didn't have the safety measures that the newer ones have in place. So, yeah. Like, it's the Tesla coils don't just pull energy, or they pull energy now, but originally they pulled all kinds of crap from Dimension W, and the prototypes, we didn't know, or they didn't know what it was pulling out. They just knew that along with it was energy. And eventually they found out that not all of it was good.
Yeah, and there are some more concepts I really want them to explain more. That they're probably going to get into that soon. You know, I think it was the third episode where, you know, you met the one guy who was like in the you know, in the outfit stealing all the stuff. Loser. That's his name, I think it was.
Yeah.
But like when the one owner of that art gallery like suddenly like warped into all these weird bodies and things and stuff, and I was just like, that's a concept I'd really be more interested in investigating. But yeah, and that's really what makes the show so interesting. Again, is the world building is fantastic. Like, he had the greatest idea for the world. Maybe the characters not so much. Not that they're bad. Again, they're just so generic. It's just the world building is so fantastic that makes me interested from episode to episode.
All right, sounds cool. Next up is Rakugo. Let me get the full name here. Showa Kenroku Rakugo Shinju, which has really impressed me and is one of my favorites of this season, and one that I watch every week. I don't let an episode slip by. I've been really impressed with how the story has gone about, as far as, you know, in the first episode we saw the present time with this new character wanting to train under Yakumo Yurokute, and then we go into the past, which is basically where the series has been ever since, following at the time he was known as Kiku, as he was learning Rakugo, and we've seen him with his friend Sukiroku, and it has been just really impressive to watch the story of those two and their friendship and their desire to, you know, get better at Rakugo and be popular and eventually become what we know Kiku is now, Yakumo, which is taking the name of his master, sort of being like the best, and just kind of seeing how that character has gotten to the point that we knew him from in the first episode has been really fascinating for me, where you see, like, he's a guy that has compassion, but once he started to find his voice in Rakugo is when you start to see his personality turn, and how that has, and we're starting to see now how that has an effect on the relationships with girlfriend and Sukeroku also, and that has it's starting to come to a head, and I've been really impressed with the series. Really good.
This is a show I keep wanting to watch. I still have the first episode saved, but every time I like look at that first episode, I go 40 minutes. Yeah. I know eventually, like again, I kind of mentioned this offhand off podcast. I got some time coming up. This might be one of the shows I might visit to kind of just see how it feels.
Yeah, and I think now thinking back on it, at first I was kind of in your boat as far as like being confused about like, boy, 40 minutes, it seems interesting, but you know, I guess I'll watch it. And then I kind of thought like, boy, they spent a lot of time just on Rakugo, just straight up Rakugo, like there was very little. But now thinking back on it, like, you know, it was, I think that was a good decision to show as much as they did and to have an hour long, you know, with commercials for a first episode. And we have a couple more shows left. Aijin, X-Con.
Yes, yes. Okay, so this series, I think I'm the only one who's seen it, but it's actually a very interesting type of series on a couple levels. One, it's completely CG, and I've been noticing a lot more CG series lately, and they're getting better and better as far as the look and fluidity of them. But another thing that's interesting about this particular series, before we even get into the plot and everything, is that it's being broadcast in a movie form and a series form at the same time. So you have the 13 episode series, or you can do like I did and watch the movie, which is literally all the episodes all together. And then when the next season starts, you get part two, and the next season is part three. Although, like, it's debatable which way is better, because a lot of the episodes end on cliffhangers, and I have a problem with cliffhangers. I'd rather marathon a series than to sit through each episode, although it's not like I can do anything about that half the time. But the actual synopsis of the series is it feels a lot like Tokyo Ghoul in a way. Our main character finds out that he's an Aijin, which is like kind of this person that can't die. And because of that, the government wants him to do all kinds of experiments on him. And just because he can't die doesn't mean he can't feel pain. But that doesn't matter to the government, so they try to figure out what keeps them alive. And so they do all these horrific experiments to these types of people, and after he finds out he's one of them, of course he doesn't want to get caught, so he tries to run away, but everybody else in the town, in the entire country, turns on him, except for his best friend, or his ex-best friend, who he turned on him, like, some years ago. Because he was looking like a delinquent. He dyed his hair, and his mom told him not to play with him anymore, so he stopped playing with him. But he was the only person to take him in and help him escape. There's a lot more to it, and I don't want to really get that much into it, because I think it would be kind of a spoiler type thing. But it's actually something that I'd highly suggest you watch, yeah. Especially in movie form.
And it's being animated by the same studio that made Knights of Cydonia, Cydonia no Kishi. So for people, sort of a frame of reference of kind of what the visual style is like, and that Polygon likes doing that, the 3D CGI stuff, which I think like that argument, like it's tough because we watch, you know, regular anime and then have all these, the same discussion about 3D and CGI and stuff in anime is that, oh, it's not really that good and their eyes look dead and stuff. But I don't know. How do you think about, how do you feel about like the animation and the art of Aijin?
It's not perfect, but it's a lot better than a lot of CG that I've seen. And this season especially has brought some a lot better animation to it. Because the weird thing is, you could just animate this. I kind of don't even understand why they went the CG route to begin with.
It's the studio, as you mentioned. Polygon does this.
I know, but I don't see the point of specifically doing it in 3D. That's all I'm saying. I understand it's a studio, but I'm just saying, why are they specifically focusing on 3D? I guess you could argue that the better that they get at doing this, the easier it'll be in the future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you could argue that if they might be able to animate faster.
Yeah,
if they get the right engine down.
That's a risky business proposition, though.
Yeah.
And last but certainly not least is the show that I think collectively we all feel is like maybe our favorite of the season so far is Erased.
Oh, yes.
That's why I put this one at the end. I feel like this one, I put on this for two reasons. First off, there's no good way to talk about the show without spoiling it. So, spoiler warning. If you're not watching this show, thank you for listening to the Anavision podcast.
From episode 8.
Yeah, the truth is, like, this is a show that we all really love, and I really like the direction it's taken. And we've even had some discussions on Facebook, although I really question XCOM's decision on posting, you know, stuff about the latest episode less than like an hour after it aired. Most of us hadn't even watched it yet. And he's like, I think after watching this episode, it's this guy's the guy.
Well, no, I mentioned that I felt that way for a while, but I think after this episode is the reason why I felt that way. But, oh well.
Anyway, spoiler warning now, because now we're really going to get into spoilers. So, yeah, I think some of the larger opinions is that it is the teacher. He is the guy. And I think that's still probably a strong possibility. It's just like, as we were saying on Facebook, it seems like that would almost kind of be sad.
Yeah.
Because I really love the twist the show has taken. You know, I love the fact that, and this is something I said at the beginning, I really hope they end up doing, you know, they jump into the future again, mm-hmm. and then something's, you know, and they did. They jumped right back into the future, found out things weren't changed enough, and so he had to go back into the past, and now they're trying things a second way, and I love that.
You know,
that to me is interesting.
The moment they were in the museum, and he had kind of like a double memory, where he was like, huh, I thought I was here alone, but now I'm remembering her actually being here. That was the moment I was like, huh, I bet you what's going to end up happening is this is not going to work out, and he's going to have to go back in time again. And mm-hmm. sure enough, mm-hmm. he had to go back in time again. And where did he end up? He ended up right back at the museum. I was like, huh, funny how that works out.
He's like predicting.
Yeah, it's like all the timelines just kind of happen to be playing out at the same time, but we're kind of seeing the 29-year-old go in and out of it.
Ooh, I highly recommend you watch this twice. Like, I'm rewatching the series with my wife. I mean, not that the series is over and anything, but the second time you watch it, there's some things you catch, but you don't catch the first time. Because this series is very detail-oriented.
Any examples to share?
And I mean, I caught this the first time, but some people didn't catch it. The Last Supper painting? Like, right before the manager turns him in? It's kind of mm-hmm. like, this is gonna happen.
Okay.
I mean, there are other things as well, but that's the first thing that comes to mind.
No, I kind of put you on the spot.
Yeah, because I wasn't expecting to say anything like, oh, red eyes. It took me a minute to realize that, like, any time that, I guess the series is trying to portray that this is somebody who could potentially be the murderer, they have red eyes.
Yeah. Getting that sinister look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just really excited to see where this goes. And I'm hoping for that last twist, something to give us some kind of way to, you know, make it something that twists us. You know, even if it was the teacher, okay, let's just say it was the teacher. Give us something else like a twist. Like, maybe the teacher has a similar ability, and, you know, it comes back to the fact that, you know, the reason why he wasn't caught was because he was able to go back into the past himself. Right. You know, just some kind of twist that I really would enjoy. I feel like, yeah, sure, even if the show was just, you know, it turns out it was the teacher, and, you know, that's it. That's the whole story. It was still a great series, don't get me wrong. It's just, it would be like, you know, a little disappointing that they didn't figure out some great twist to wrap up a great series.
I think so. You're just more so disappointed that it's too easy. Like, we figured it out, and we still have a month before we find out who it is.
Well, like, see, that's the thing. I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my horn too much here, but when it comes to shows like this, you know, even when it's just regular American, good old-fashioned American programming, I'm really keen at just, like, I just know how, not like I'm great at predicting things, I just know how stories are written. I know how these work, how these stories work. And for a lot of shows, you watch them, and I watch them, and I just feel like I know what's coming, and those shows don't interest me. And, you know, for a show to interest me, they have to have some sort of twist, something you just don't see coming. And that's kind of why I'm hoping that. Is because, like, the minute I saw the teacher, like, literally the minute the teacher came into a focus, I thought to myself, he's probably the killer. And it's just because, thinking about it, you know, for someone to be the killer, normally they always like to throw some twist for the killer. And they like to make it the guy you trust, the guy you go to, you know, the guy that's seemingly trying to help. You know, it's the last guy you might expect initially to be the villain. So that's kind of why I went with, you know, it's got to be the teacher. So I've always kind of hoped they figure something out to give it that last moment twist. Because in a show like this, where you have 12 episodes, you know, a total of 6 hours, well, I guess it's more like 3 or 4 hours of stuff, you know, it's like, I just hope they figure some way around to make it so the story kind of gives you that last moment of, oh, I didn't expect that coming.
Yeah, I think with shows like these, we're always looking for that "oh" or "aha" moment. You want it to be cryptic, something that we could, as XCOM mentioned, watch it again and go, "Oh, I see it now." And you want it to be a little more clever, because if it is the teacher, then it's like, well, I mean, yeah, obviously, like, that looks like the teacher when we saw the guy smiling under his hat with the red eyes. But do you think that the show absolutely needs that to come away with a positive impression? Because for me, I've been enjoying the journey so far through 8 episodes, where I kind of feel like it would be a shame, but I don't feel like my overall enjoyment of the show absolutely hinges on the reveal.
It would, for me, it's one of those things for, when it comes down to it, if there is a great twist in the end, if there's something that even if, as I said, it comes down to the fact that, you know, he has the ability himself, to me, I'd still find that a twist, even though I just predicted it here, maybe because I literally thought of it like 5 minutes before I said it. But, you know, I was just literally pulling something out of my ass. But it's literally something that, for me, comes down to, would this show end up being one of those series I always go, this was fantastic, versus, hey, you want to recommend me a great show? Oh, have you seen Erased? You know, like, a series that when we do our 2016 Anime of the Year, I'm thinking Erased has to be on there. Like, now it's like,
if I don't
see, and that's where we have to.
Now it's a good contender. Right. Don't get me wrong. It's a great contender right now. But it hasn't gotten to that point where I'm like, it has to be on there.
Yeah. That's the thing where we have to proceed with caution here for these remaining, is it 13 episodes?
It's
a 12. Series? 12? Okay, 12, so we 12. Have 9, 10, 11. Okay, yeah, 4 more episodes. So we have to kind of be careful about putting it on a pedestal, or, you know, we're enjoying it now, but let's kind of see.
The ending can always bomb.
Yeah, but
It's kind of like, it's always that perception that we always tend to do that. We always, the hype train is real. Even if it's like something like Batman Superman, we're hyped to see that movie. There's don't get me wrong, there's still a great chance that movie's going to be garbage. Right. In fact, there was even a rumor not too long ago that they were concerned that their reviews for the movie weren't going to be very good. And yes, it was just like a one-off rumor from one random guy. But at the same time, that, you know, that's the way it always is. We tend to get so hyped up, and it's because it's not that necessarily the show is bad, or we get these impressions of them that aren't realistic. It's just the pieces we do have about something we enjoy. Right. We think the trailers for the Batman Superman movie look fantastic. No one can deny that. Anyone who says that either A, hates movies, or B, is trying to be that cool hipster kid saying, oh, it looks stupid. You know, the trailers look absolutely great. So the show has been absolutely great. But you're right. I mean, there's four episodes left. There's a third of the series we have not seen.
There's a lot of journeys and still a destination to get to.
And you know what? Exactly. Even beyond the killer, I kind of want to see the present after the killer is dealt with, because I just have this nagging feeling that there's something, some kind of connection between Kaio and Iri. I don't know what it could possibly be.
Right.
But I think
because her parents went off. They said that. They said, hey, her parents went off. She's kind of an orphan, not really orphan, but she's living in the state or in the Japan because her parents are out of country. You're all right. I don't necessarily think there is a connection there, but I do think there's obviously something we're missing. And there is something, because again, we're as much as it's great, there is something still we're missing, because you remember the politician guy that came into the pizza store. How is he connected to all
this?
He's
the killer.
Yeah, I know, but a politician? That's weird.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, let's think about the teacher. If you're in a government job, what's an easy lateral move you can make later on in life?
True.
So, that's the way I thought about it, which is the reason why I'm like, okay, even more reason why I think the teacher is the killer. Because it just makes sense to me, as far from a job standpoint.
It's logical.
Yeah.
It would be great if... And this is something I do like sometimes when shows do this. They pull us, they always want us to suspect someone's the killer, but maybe we just don't know the killer yet. Yeah, no, I just think that it's going to be interesting, and I really do hope that even if it is the teacher, they figure some great way to final it out. Like, he suddenly... Satoru wakes up, and it's the future, and he's like, awesome. And he goes home and is like, oh, great. Everything is right with the world. And looks down. Wait a minute, I'm married? It's like, and all of a sudden, Kaio comes out like, hey, honey. And you're just like...
like, are you stupid?
Blown. And a little kid comes out and you're just like, what? Like, that would be like just a cool twist too.
In some way to kind of make it hellish for Sator. Like, this is what you wanted and this is what you get. And... also, every time they do the Satoru speaking as a 29-year-old in his 10-year-old body with, the accidental lines and stuff is always hilarious. Like, the one in this episode with the mom sleeping in between. Am I in the way? Yes. Oh, I said that. Bonk right on the head.
Which is just fantastic, too. Even when he's, sitting next to Kaio blushing and he's like, come on, you're 29 years old. this is a little girl here. But, to be fair, he's 29 in mind, but in body.
it's like this weird thing where, hey, this 10-year-old is cute. I'm old enough. Awkward feelings.
It's like, just, is that right? I can only imagine, the internal conflict. Like, man, technically I'm 11, and so is she, but I have the mind of a 29-year-old, so this just feels wrong, but it feels so good at the same time.
And I want to say I had this thought in my head just before he said it, where she was talking about, or he was talking about some place that they that he went to and saw and looked really nice. And the mom's like, you've never been there. Oh, shoot. Got myself.
Yeah.
Man, that must be a real pain, because if you think about it, his memories are more than his current... Like, at 29, mm-hmm. just distinguishing the memories that he's had from 11 up is going to be way harder than remembering everything from when he was 11.
Right.
I don't know why he just doesn't tell his mom, please buy Apple stock. Please buy Apple stock. At one point, Apple stock goes down to $10, and now it's like $1,000. Please buy it. No, but one last thing I'll say is, how many of us always watch? Like, I skip through openings all the time, but this opening I always watch.
Oh, yeah, there. I love it. Asian Kung Fu, so good.
I skip this opening because I skip this opening because I have the track, and it's only part of the track, so I just...
Oh, you can't sit there just a minute of the song. You have to have the whole
thing. Yeah, because, I've had this song, and I've listened to this song for, on loop years ago for a long time. Like, when I get into a track, I really get into a track. And I really got into this track back years ago when Asian Kung Fu Generation was big. So I've heard this song enough.
Any other shows we want to quickly mention, like Degashikashi? I dropped at episode 4. I thought it was a pretty unremarkable show.
PSO2, it just turned to the inevitable conclusion of, yeah, the game characters are leaving the game world and going into the real world and vice versa. They're kidnapping people and going into the game world, and they have to go into the game world to save people from the real world. Something that...
What show is
Fantasy Star?
Yeah.
Oh, Fantasy Star, okay.
It's something you'd expect from Fantasy Star at the very beginning, but they're not introducing it until a few episodes before it ends.
Yeah. I will say this. Another thing we didn't talk about at all is Do-da-da-da, and someone might go, why aren't they talking about that? And this is something I discussed before, too. I stopped watching the latest season, not because I don't want to watch it, but because I'm waiting for this to finish. I mean, Do-da-da-da is very much... Like, there are shows where I say, yeah, I wish I could just marathon this, but I could at least, I can't really wait on. This is a show that's just light years better when you marathon it, because, again, as
it's hard to keep up from week to week.
It is, like, I really have no problem. I even heard one guy who mentioned this, like, he was a streamer guy and he likes to watch some anime, and he mentioned this about Do Da Da Da. He's like, I tried to watch that show once, I was just so confused. And I didn't hate him for it, because I agree, this is a show that you can get confused on. I mean, even watching it all sitting at one time, it is a very much all over the place show that's fantastic when you can put all the pieces together. But when you're watching it week to week, it's so hard to put the pieces together, because you got to remember the small details, or you can't appreciate the small details as much because you forgot they happened, because they might have happened a couple weeks ago.
There's so many moving parts in the foreground and mm-hmm. background that it's difficult to keep that all in your memory bank.
And I'm sure once I get into it, once I my plan is to start watching it like a week or two out from the final episode, so I can get it all in nice one little sitting, at least what I have left. I think I watched the first 4 episodes before I kind of gave it that, let me chill, so I'm not that behind. But at the same time, it's just, I'm really kind of looking forward to getting that all in one sitting, or at least in a couple sittings.
Where did you last leave off on part 2 of this season of Dur? Because I was almost done with part 2.
Let's see. So I'm exactly 4 episodes behind on this season.
Oh, okay.
So 5, if I don't... I don't think I've gotten today's episode in. So, I got a 3. So I'm like 3 or... Like, I'm on episode... Like, the last I watched was X28, whatever they call it. If you download them. I'm not too behind. Okay. But I really plan on hoping to catch... Once again, as I said, I'm going to catch up. I'm going to enjoy it. Another series we haven't talked about that I'm like super behind on. I'm like six episodes behind on, at least. And that doesn't count for the one that's going to come out tomorrow, and that's Gundam, the Mobile Suit Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans, or IBO. And it's nothing for the part of me being super busy and not really having time, and that show ended up getting on the back burner for me. So that's another one of the shows that I'm going to be marathoning very soon, because I do still like it, but that's just kind of one of the reasons why I'm not talking about it.
All right, cool. And that has been our discussion on the winter season. It won't be that long before the season's over, and we'll be back to talking about, you know, how Erased concluded and what we thought of all these other shows. And hopefully Amara will be with us, and we'll get, like, you know, his impressions on IBO, amongst some other stuff. That has been episode 237. Now, we do have a couple things planned. We mentioned that topic amongst the Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm online discussion about games. And then Amuro and I will be seeing the Kizumonogatari movie. This has been years of anticipation, finally reaching a point where we actually have a movie to watch. So Amuro and I will be talking about both that first movie and the light novel of Kizumonogatari. So it'll be sort of a double spoiler for not just the first movie, but all the movie series when we talk about the book. And then by the time we get together for the next podcast, The Division will have been out, and we'll have played about 4 days or so worth of The Division to get a true feel for all the perks and all the story missions and the dark zone of The Division, and really see where we are at as far as our interest level in the game, and seeing how the game has matched our expectations.
And we'll be recording and releasing that recording of what we talked about before the podcast even started, where we gave our in-depth impressions on what would make it better.
Yeah. All right, so thank you for listening. Animation.org is the website, of course. Our Facebook group is our most active of the social networks. We do have Twitter and Google Plus, but Facebook is definitely the place to be to join in the discussion about anime and games, among other things. And that is it. So for XCOM, Steve, and the absent Amuro, I'm Jero. We will see you next time on the Anavision podcast. Believe it. 溢れてくるよ
君の夢は抱きしめていた 大人